world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
All right, I got to tell you the truth this morning. I always try to tell you the truth. I'm so sick of the snow. If it wasn't for my family, I understand why they have snowbirds and those people go down to Florida. We got more snow coming today. We've had snow on the ground for, I'm talking deep snow, for how long? Month? 6 weeks? Plastic snow. Yeah, Vinny, plastic snow. More coming today. Can't hardly get up sky high, plowed it, salted it, just refreezes. I'm sick of it, man. I'm sick of the snow. So it is what it is. And man, we're living in incredible times. Bible says nothing hidden that will not be revealed. You guys know that? Take a communion. I say that. I'm getting mine ready here. Nothing hidden. I think we are on the verge of, as I said last week, we're in the crucible. We are on the verge of, I believe, unveiling of the depth of the wickedness behind the scenes, both parties. And Bill Clinton, as you saw, Bill and Hillary Clinton finally said, yes, we're going to come and testify. Now, somebody said earlier in the queue, well, they're going to say, I plead the fifth. I see it differently. Because you have any idea what Bill and Hillary Clinton have on the Republicans? Do you have any idea? And so I think they're going to find it as an opportunity to unleash. I think we're in the middle of a war. I think it's good. I think there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Republicans aren't any better than the Democrats. They just have a form of godliness. They deny the power thereof. Huh? And so what are we doing? We're riding a horse that is, it's like going to the park, going to the amusement park and riding one of those horses up and down. You guys remember those little merry-go-rounds? That's what we do. Jump on the Republican horse up and down, hang on, and then we'll change horses. We'll get a different color one. You can move over, get on this horse. And at the bottom of it all, and we better understand, as I've said over and over and over, the whole creation groaning, waiting for the church to show up. Not Republicans, not Democrats, not conservatives. So, man, I'm full of it this morning. A lot of great stuff going on. Here's what I'd really like to do. In fact, this is what I put on my schedule here. But I'd like to hear from you, what you're doing. Because here's one of the things that I realize. A lot of us, we all have a tendency to do this, right? We like to listen to Glenn Beck. We like to listen to different people. And really, I was thinking about when Rush Limbaugh used to be really, really popular. We would all see how bad the world was. And then Rush would come on for 3 hours and we'd say, Rush has got it under control. And Rush didn't have it under control. Rush just told us what was going on and there wasn't anybody doing anything about it. Now, I don't know how long Rush Limbaugh has been dead, but has conservatism, whatever that word means, has it advanced? Has conservatism advanced since Rush Limbaugh passed away? No, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places, and we still haven't figured it out, especially the church still hasn't figured it out. But what we're doing here, and we call this Coach Dave Live. I had a great opportunity to be on a show last night with called The Awake Nation. I'll get to that maybe in a minute. David Zublik, I don't know if you got, they called me out of nowhere. And I went on, I had a, not ashamed of the gospel, I had a good one. Maybe I'll show you a little bit of a clip. But I want those of you out there who are watching the show and watch it regularly, I want you to hear from people who actually are doing something. Because, you know, you can come here every day, and when the show's over, say, damn, that was a good show. Man, that coach, he's on top of it, and do nothing about it. And come in the next day, say, man, damn, that's a good show, and do nothing about it. But I want you to know that there are many out there who are doing stuff. They are doing stuff. It's not under the headlines, not under the bright lights of the media, but neighbor to neighbor, door to door, small town to small town, we're having an impact. So some of you out there, please don't be afraid to come in and tell us your story, not your life story. Come in and tell us a little bit about what you got going on. And maybe we can encourage you, pray for one another, lock arms. Because if this show is just about a show, I mean, it is, and it's good, and it's motivating. Yesterday was really good, and I get all that. But folks, if it doesn't propel us to action, if we just look good in our uniforms, if that's all, if we get dressed in our uniforms, we used to call it walkthroughs. On Friday night was football game. Thursday night was walkthrough. And what was a walkthrough? Well, everybody dressed in their uniforms. We went out and just reviewed, no pads on, and we just did a walkthrough. We had the uniform on. We ran all the plays. There was nobody trying to stop us. There was no crowd watching us. It was just us going through our plays in a walkthrough. And that's most Christianity. It's just a walkthrough. Just a walkthrough. Well, I went to church on Sunday. Damn, what a great message. Yeah, what'd you do with it? Well, nothing. Huh? I did a walkthrough, put my uniform on, and went to church, and it was all good. And what'd you do with it? Well, nothing. Well, how long, man? How long? What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? The Bible tells us we're going to be hated of all men. Is that what you're afraid of? Dude, let me tell you, they hate you already. You just don't know it. They hate you already. Don't. I want to hear from some of you here as we get into this. We're going to take communion. And see, that's another thing. We really don't take that seriously, do we? We don't really take that. The body and blood. Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. And I hate that sometimes we get to the point where, while we're taking communion, some of us, come on, I'm telling you the truth. Some of us are saying, okay, come on, hurry up, Joe. Let's get to the show. Amen, huh? Amen. Amen. That most sacred thing, as Joe says, it's healing. It's healing, all of that. Time out. Let me ask you something. How many of you yesterday wrote your vision down? Stuck it on the refrigerator. Michelle and I did. We stuck it on the refrigerator. Huh? Are you doers of the word or hearers only? Just hearers of the word. Boy, that sounds good. Boy, that coach was good today. Boy, Randy sure had him stacked up today, didn't he? Whoa, man, oh, man. Boy, Kevin, he's out of the way. Are you with me? What are you doing? What are you doing? That's ultimately what Coach Dave Lies is supposed to be all about. So that's where we're heading. I want to hear from you. I've got a lot of great stuff, as we always do. I want to hear from you. Because, look, you can encourage somebody else. I said, you mean Gene Schroeder's doing that? Well, I can do that. What? You mean Van Story's doing it? I can do that. So, folks, we're it, man. We are it. Whole creation groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And you, your influence is local. It's local. And I hate using the term, let me be honest with you, because that sounds like you're lying, in other words, right? I got to tell you something. I watch, sometimes I watch the replay of the show. I had this chance last night to be on Zublik. Hang on, I'll get to you, Joe. Hang on. With his show last night. And I got to tell you something. I freaking lit it up. Does that sound like I'm bragging? Does it sound like I'm bragging? I lit it up to a brand new audience. And I'll be honest. I get up in the morning and say, Lord, give me 1 million people, not because I want to be famous, but because they feel it and they're motivated to do something. That's what I said about Rush Limbaugh. How many of you turned on Rush at noon to 3? And boy, when the show was over, I said, man, Rush is all over it. And look what's happened since Rush Limbaugh was on 3 hours a day. It is worse and worse because he anesthetized us. Rush is in charge. Huh? Oh, Glenn Beck, he's got, Glenn's doing it. Glenn's got to go. Oh, Joe Rogan's on top. No. What are you doing? What's Paul Gosselin doing? What's Gene Schroeder doing? What's Ray LeBlanc doing? What are you doing? What's Coach Dave doing? What's Gary doing? What's Jeff doing? That's it. Because if we are not taking, if this show is just get together and have an hour and a half together in the morning and everybody rubs each other's back, we all feel good at the end of the day, then I've freaking missed it. I've totally missed it. And I want to encourage you to have some courage to step out of the boat and not be afraid. Now look, God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Fear is a great, great motivator. I don't know if that's the right word to use. Thank God for fear, because fear propels you into action. But look, faith overcomes fear. When you get motivated to the point where you know that you're supposed to do something and it's scary, folks, you got to conquer that devil. You got to say, hey, no matter what costs me, I'm going. No matter what they may think, I'm going to say it. Somebody give me a thumbs up so I know I got a friend out there, right? And until those of us who are filled with the Holy Spirit, until we have the courage to do that, we ain't going to advance the ball. I mean, you can listen to Coach Dave live, you can do all you want to. But if you don't step to the plate and begin to awaken and make some enemies in your circle, we got to shake them out of the comfort zone. And most of Christianity has become the comfort zone. Huh? Right? People go to church and they have music and lights because they want you to feel good. And you'll hear pastors say, well, Coach, I don't want to preach negative messages. People come to be encouraged. Really? My Bible says to encourage yourself in the Lord. You got to go to church, get encouraged? Are you kidding me? You're not encouraged, but you're not encouraged. When you look outside and see what they're doing to the children in America, you're not encouraged to go do something about it? What? That's what Coach Dave's life is about. And I could do a better job of what I do. I could be more active. I could do more things. But I want you to know this, and I've said this before. If you are involved and you are doing something and you have maybe you need to buy something, maybe you need to print some pamphlets, maybe whatever it is. Look, we are here to financially support you. Do you get what I'm saying? We're not going to pay you a salary. If you say, Coach, I need to get 1,000 flyers printed, we'll print them for you. We'll pick up that tab. Because why? That's why you guys give here. That's why you give here. To be able to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so you say, boy, if I just had this, well, let's get it. Let's go. What are you waiting on? I'll get those pamphlets printed. Will you go do it? If I get them printed, will you go hand them out? I'm not going to muzzle the ox. Huh? You're working. Dude, we're going to, money coming your way. But see, you guys got to be involved with it because money don't grow on trees. If I'm going to help Ray LeBlanc, I can only help Ray LeBlanc because you guys have helped. That's the only way this thing works, right? And so let's feed the doers. Let's feed the doers, not the talkers. Let's feed the doers. And again, that's kind of what I like to hear from whatever you want to. What are you doing? You're not here bragging on yourself because you might inspire somebody else. Well, hell, I can do that. How many of you now are staking regularly because somebody introduced that? Say, wow, I can do that. And how many of you have encouraged somebody else to go stake with you? And now they say, well, I can do that. And then once you go into the kiddie pool, then you go walk out a little bit into the water. It's up to your waist. And then when you get the water up to your waist and you find out you're okay there, then you can learn to swim. Then you can go off the hive dive. This is process. It's process. I have nightmares. No, not really. But imagine when the Bible says that we're going to be at the great white throne judgment. Revelation 21. We're all going to be judged. We're going to all stand before the Lord and the books are open. What it says, because people say, well, Coach, it's not about works. Okay, really? Revelation 21:8, stand before the Lord, and the books are open. Spencer, see if you can find that. And the books are opened. What? No, okay, that's the right verse, wrong. That's the right chapter, wrong verse. That's it, going down. I haven't forgot communion, Joe. I haven't forgot it. Hang on. Keep going. Where is it? And the books were open. Oh, look! But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. They're going into, the fearful and unbelieving. They're the first ones gone. The fearful and unbelieving. They're ahead of the abominable. And they're ahead of the murderers. And they're ahead of the warmongers. And they're ahead of the sorcerers. And they're ahead of the idolaters and all liars. They're all going into the lake of fire and brimstone. But the first batch in are the fearful and unbelieving. That's if you believe the Bible, right? I still didn't find what I was looking for. What was I find? We were judged out of those things written in the book. And I saw the dead and the small and great stand before God, and the books were opened. And then another book was opened. This is real, if you believe the Bible. That other book that was opened, well, that's a book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to their works. So next time somebody tells you you can't work your way in the gospel, give them this one. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were all judged, every man, according to his works. Now, how long has the church told you it's not about works? Come on. Anybody out there run a business? Randy runs a business. Hey, Randy. You hire people and expect them not to work? Anybody out there hire anybody? Anybody, old football coach? Anybody put a football player on the field and expect him not to block?
The most we can get out of them, coach.
Yep. And the death and hell are cast in the lake. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into that lake of fire. Okay, go back up a little bit. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. This stream of consciousness. Go back up. I want you to look. I want you to watch this. I want you to see this. And I saw the dead, small and great. Who's standing before God? The dead. Hey, not the spiritually dead. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in that book. But if your name's in the book of life, those works got no... It's still written in there, but the blood covers it. It's a book of life. Do you see the difference in these two things? There's the book of death, and there's the book of life. The dead were judged out of things which were written in the books. But then there's another book. Your name in the book of life? When you go stand before the Lord at that great resurrection morning, whatever that's going to look like, and when we all are rewarded according to our works, Awards assembly. You ever been to a high school football awards assembly? Here comes Joe Blow. Joe, this is his first varsity letter. Joe, congratulations. Here's your verse letter. What? What? He gets rewarded for what he did? So you don't get to heaven because you did good stuff. But you do good stuff because you're going to heaven. Oh, man. I'm doing okay here, aren't I, Ray? I'm doing okay. Because we have been so mistaught. We think the church, going to church, is about us. So I can go feel better and sing good songs and lift my hands. And, I so felt the Spirit. So we think it's about us. And so you go there and you get filled with the Spirit, and then you leave and you don't do anything. Man, oh, man. The game films don't lie, folks. Game films don't lie. What if the book that the Lord opens is a computer generation of all you did? Plays it on the screen. Highlights of your life. Wow. We're not to judge, right? Not to, okay, I'm all over the place. I'm all over the place. Bear with me. Come on. Come on in here, Jill Carrico. Willing to get up that early in the morning. Thanks, Jill.
Thank you, Coach. Okay. The reading this morning is Romans 6, 15 to 23. What then? Shall we sin?
That's a question. Hey, folks, when you read the Bible and you see a question mark, do you answer the question?
Because we are not under the law, but under grace. God forbid.
That's right. Oh, boy. Because you're under grace, you can do whatever you want, right? Go ahead, Joe.
Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness.
Who you're serving and who you're obeying. Joe and I didn't talk about this. This is amazing. Same scripture. Huh? We didn't talk about this. Who are you yielding your servants to? Go ahead, Joe.
But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin.
Boy, servants of sin. You didn't even have to make a debate. You didn't even have to ask any questions about that, baby. You just went and did it. You just went and did it. You were a servant of sin. Go ahead.
But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you.
May God has delivered. Thank you, Lord.
Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness.
Wow. Are you a servant of righteousness? Folks, are you a servant of righteousness? Because they're going to tell you in your church that I hear it all the time. Coach Dave, you're preaching a works gospel. No, I'm not. No, I'm preaching a gospel. I'm the salt of the earth. You think spreading salt's works? No, it's duty. I'm his ambassador. What are you talking about? He hired me and I'm working. Hey, anybody out there hire people don't work? How long do you keep them on the payroll? Go ahead. You know, somebody should put a sock in the mouth.
I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Okay. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness.
And stop a minute, Joe. Raise your hand if you've served your members to uncleanness. I have. I have done that. Come on. Raise your hand out there. Have you yielded your members servants of uncleanness? I have. Some of you are lying. Some of you are lying. Go ahead.
And unto iniquity, and even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness.
Well, are you now servants of righteousness unto holiness? I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, hell, what's wrong with you? Didn't you get saved? Then you aren't a sinner saved by grace anymore. You're the righteousness of God.
For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness.
Man, oh man.
What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed?
Isn't that right? Huh? That's what I said. Stuff you, when you weren't a servant of righteousness, did you do some crappy stuff or not? Huh? Oh my goodness. Are you kidding me? Because I was a servant of sin.
For the end of those things is death. Wow. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness.
Amen.
And the end everlasting life.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
So the wages of sin is death. In other words, the devil's paying you with death. That's your payday. That's your payday. You can go mess around. I almost said a bad word. Do all you want to and all that kind of stuff. And the devil's going to give you a payday. So it says right there, put wages of sin. He's going to pay you. It's death. Jesus died on the cross because he made the payment for you. He didn't just forgive it. He paid the price. It stuck him on the cross and hit him with lashes, broke bones, right? Why? Somebody had to pay a price. We had cheap grace in America. So if the Lord saved you from hell, you have an obligation to serve him? You feel an obligation to do that? Just go to church on Sunday and raise your hand and get more blessings? Really? Man, oh man. Go ahead. Well, it's okay. I don't need your approval. It's okay though, isn't it? Go ahead.
That's the reading. No, but it's really amazing how the Holy Spirit just puts it together.
It is unbelievable, Joe. It is. Yeah. Cheap grace, they call that, right? Don't they call that cheap grace? Is there anybody out there ever that would hire somebody to mow your yard and then they don't mow it and you pay them? They say, well, hey, listen, I don't believe in that works gospel stuff. I'm believing that grass will get cut. Hey, go ahead and pay me. I ain't going to cut it, but I'm on the payroll here. I'm on the payroll.
Yeah, no, I think it's like God winks when God, you can see that things are going together that weren't planned.
Hey, Joe, my wife said to me the other day, again, she came in the house and I did the dishes. My hands are still okay from it. I did the dishes. You know what she said to me? That's my love language.
Yep.
What's the Lord's love language? He loves you. You love him. What's the Lord's love language? Make him say, that's my boy. Oh, that's my boy.
Obedience.
Better than sacrifice. Keep going. Joe, go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
No. It's good, Coach. It's all okay, good. But I think that one thing the Lord likes is when we can see when he gives us a God wink and we actually acknowledge it. Then he knows that we're being awake. We're waking up.
Joe, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ lives within me. How do you kill a dead man? How do you kill a dead man? You're already dead in the flesh.
I don't even know where we're at.
You're alive in the spirit, man. Can't kill a dead man.
Can't interrupt.
Okay. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you here, dead to the flesh, alive with you, Lord, filled with gratitude for all you've done and all you're doing. Grateful for the little God winks that you give us and show us that you're actively in our lives and we just need to open our eyes and see it. So, Lord, I ask that everyone listening be a little more awake, a little more discernment every day to how God the Father is active in our lives. And this is only possible because he gave his only begotten Son, that we who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life, shall be on that righteous, sanctified path, and then be doing as ambassadors of our Lord Jesus Christ, be doing what he would have us do, what he would do. And as he is in us, then we need to yield and surrender to the Lord and let him be our tongue. Let him guide our day. And it's not always easy, but we need to do that. And we need to wake up when we see it, feel when somebody offended us, and a little bit of so-called righteous anger might rise up. We need to step back and say, wait a second. Is this a turn the tables in the temple moment? Or is this a moment when we need to love? And I guess in the end, Christ probably turned the tables in the temple because God loved them, but that was the only way to wake them up that were in the temple. But so, Lord, we ask you to help us with our discernment. Help us be obedient. Help us to take that extra step, go that extra mile, and do what you would do, Lord, were you here. Because you are here. You're in us, and we need to acknowledge that. And, Lord, we're grateful for all the revealing that's happening. It's not just here. It's all around the world. And we pray now for the people of Iran that have been under an evil yoke for so long that it has oppressed them. And what they go through, I don't think we here can really understand. We have things we don't like, things that aren't going good, things that should be changed, that should be different. But what those people have gone through, we have no idea what they have gone through. And yet there is a church there, Lord, that is growing and rising up, even though if you're caught, you may be put to death. We really can't understand that. We can read the words and we can say it and we can sort of have an academic feeling for what that is, but we really don't understand it, Lord. We don't understand how meetings come together because the Holy Spirit tells people where to go. We don't understand that. But in Iran, in China, and probably North Korea, that's how you work. But we don't understand. And some of us are believing, now that can't be. Well, it is. And the Holy Spirit is amazing. You just have to receive and acknowledge and learn to listen. And so we ask that there be an even greater revealing, and that, Lord, that you remove the scales from the eyes of our brothers and sisters and our friends, our colleagues, our neighbors. Remove the scales from their eyes with those who have been drinking this Kool-Aid for their whole lives and for all these generations and are finally starting to wake up. Remove the scales and let them receive the truth and let them accept that they were fooled, because it is easier to fool somebody than it is to convince them that they were fooled. And that's because of pride. That original sin, pride, is really a heavy yoke on humanity. It hits us all the time. Help us to get beyond it, Lord, to get beyond it, and to not yield, not to yield to that. And we pray again for Tina Peters, and we ask you to comfort her, increase her faith, let her know that she is loved, and let her know that justice will come to those who have been unjustly oppressing her, and let that justice from our eyes, Lord, be swiftly, but we know you have your own plan, but I know everybody on this call wants it to be quick. And we're hoping that it's not one of those times when a day is 1,000 years, because we've waited 2 of those days since your son came, Lord. And we're grateful for communion. We don't really understand it, I think, Lord, but we have an idea. And so we ask you to forgive our sins and our transgressions, and let us be cleansed in your sight. We ask that you help us remember that we are now participating in this great covenant. We're remembering as we're told to do, and we're also participating. And we understand, Lord, that you are moving. You are here. You are with us now in this amazing unconventional congregation spreading this from West Coast to East Coast, from Canadian border down to the Mexican border, all and states in between, and sometimes internationally. We're grateful you're here, Lord. And we ask that you help us remember that this meal can heal. It can heal our bodies. It can heal our spirits. It can help us heal our finances and receive the abundance that you have for us. So like that woman who with the issue of blood who reached out and touched Jesus's robe, because she said if I can touch him, I will be healed. If I can touch his royal garment, I will be healed. So let any here who need that moment, who need to reach out their hand, visualize touching that garment, receiving what's there for you. It's something that Isaiah 53:5, that is already purchased for you by his stripes. He paid for it in advance. It's a present wrapped up with the most beautiful wrapping paper you've ever seen. You just need to receive it and open it. Receive it and open it. Don't let it sit there under the tree and not be open. Receive it and open it. Receive your healing. Receive your vitality. Receive what you need. And Lord, now we bless this bread and drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we come to communion in gratitude. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, my friends. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you, Joe. Amen. 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 Wow. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Where am I? Let me click here a second. Huh? Let me click here a second. Let's go here. Okay. Here's what I like to do. I want to hear from you. What do you got going on? Because it might inspire others. Now, Norm's joined us here, and Norm's got something going on down in Swannanoa, down in North Carolina. We'll talk more about that on Monday, Norm. But I want to make sure that we get it all in order. What's going on? And we're losing this battle because we don't engage. We don't engage. And we know this, that elected officials do in fact care what you think. They just never hear from us. And so we have to become more strategic in what we do. So Norm, just take a couple minutes, Norm, and tell us the initiative that you got going on, and then we'll put some meat on the bones.
Okay. Yeah. If you'd allow me, I'd like to share what I've been working on for the last couple of years, which is a spiritual plan for our country. You know, even our president and everybody, Christians, say we need to get back to God, and that's great. But you know, a goal without a plan is just a wish. And we can say, well, you know, we need people to read their Bibles, go to church, pray more. And those are good if you can find a spirit-filled church, which is hard to find these days. But my spiritual plan is very simple. When issues come up, legislation, ask one question. What does God have to say about this? And, you know, we're not going to get back to God till we start applying the principles and following the instructions to the family and to the church and about the government.
Amen.
And so I think this plan, if we could get President Trump to make the statement, we need to get, we're going to ask God about the issue, because, you know, the word covers everything from, you know, our military justice system, physical policy for government, our personal economics and our education. It's all there.
Okay. Okay, Norris. So listen, we get all that. What's the plan? I'm with you. I'm not trying to be critical. Okay, what's the plan?
The plan is again, ask that question, which is going to begin to spark a lot of education, educating the people that God does have a plan. So anyway, enough about that. What we're working on now, I didn't learn about North Carolina until about a month ago. And Jim Harrison had Wayne Allred and Bud McCall on the show, and I just made the statement, I cannot believe that President Trump knows the truth about what's going on. So, you know, being a counselor for years, you know, when I see a problem, I try to, okay, what do we need to do here to take care of this problem? And so I began to think, so we've got,
plan to lobby the President of the United States for the people in North Carolina. Is that right, it, Norm?
Yeah, my goal is to get President Trump to meet with the boots on the ground there with Nate, you know, Nate and Kristen and Wayne Allred and the people that's been there on the ground. Right. Of course, President Trump has said he wanted faith-based organizations to have equal access to funds.
Right.
And, they've spent millions. Ted Budd just got $233 million for North Carolina, but $200 million of it is reimbursement to the state. And it's not really going to get to the people. We've still got probably 5,000 bridges.
Okay, so Norm, we have a thing here. Tell us your story, not your life story. Okay, so we're going to get an initiative together where we're going to try to petition the White House to get involved with what's going on in North Carolina.
Right. We want a meeting with President Trump. Yes.
Okay.
So he gets the truth about what's going on. Yes, sir.
So Mel, are you listening? We got to get this connected this weekend so we can kick it off on Monday. Don't mean to be rude, Norm. Sometimes I'm rude.
Okay.
Okay, Kevin Van Story. Come on in, Kevin.
Back at the first of the show, you called it a show. This is not a show.
Okay.
This is a sharing of brotherhood and fellowship. This is a sharing of spiritual infilling, because we are all weak. We are all cups with holes in them. And we drain every day. And I need this every day. Even if I don't get to stay in it all day long or all during the whole time, I need it, because there's always bits and pieces of wisdom and knowledge, and there's grace and there's fulfillment and everything good that could. And so, Coach, you sell yourself short.
Okay. What's your point? I know I'm a wonderful guy.
I'm not saying you're a wonderful guy. I'm just saying this means more. And one of the reasons I'm saying that is because just yesterday, how many of us actually go look at the book of Habakkuk? And then yesterday I had several opportunities, because I'm wearing my Coach Dave hat. I'm wearing my cross hat. I had several opportunities of men reach out to me, and all of a sudden, once again, I have encouragement, because I got this show. I got this meeting. And I got to share last night with about 150 men at a church that I've started going to that's not a Jezebel-filled feminized church.
Right, come on. I got you. Come on.
Anyway, I got lost on the point because I was wanting to try to say, but this is way more than just a show.
Amen. I appreciate it. Buskman, Martin, then Proverbs 18. Go ahead, Adam. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. Yeah, we like to set up and then punch, Coach. That's what we do. And I got to say, Norm, what somebody better, what's Norm's name
is to get. You're breaking up, Martin. You're breaking up really bad.
North Carolina accomplished through his people. That's what Norm's initiative is. And if you go to his website, you can see his initiative. You go to his Rumble channel, you can see his initiative. He doesn't have time on Coach Dave to go through all that. And Coach Dave, thank you for allowing the amount of time that Norm, who's a mighty warrior of God, on the program. God bless you, Coach.
Thanks. I believe it. Adam, come on in.
Thanks, Coach. Well, some of you guys know I have a podcast called Proverbs 18:13. The reason why I created the podcast is because we're always beating one another up in the church over non-essential theological issues instead of beating up the enemy. And so I think that if we can create more unity within the church, we can be more effective in tearing down spiritual strongholds in the country. So my goal is to grow the podcast and hopefully in a couple months be able to have Spencer build a website so I can put out newsletters and inform people. And that's about the size of it. Hopefully it'll grow and I'll be able to reach more people. Thanks, Coach.
And listen, you can only reach who you can reach, right? You can only reach who you can reach. Let me tell you something. Bigger is more headaches. Just want to give you a fair warning. Bless you, Adam. We're in your corner. Gino.
Yeah, I just want to thank Norm for sending me those emails he sent me to, with those letters to send and the emails. I'm glad the way he wrote them and he took the time. And I appreciate him very much. And I got that done. But I haven't heard nothing from anybody yet. But amen. We have to do it again.
So we'll organize this on Monday so we can be a little bit more effective. And I'll get with Mel. Somebody else, come on in. I got stuff to go
hey,
to.
Coach.
Come on in.
Coach, just from JR.
Yeah, JR.
I got a call yesterday from a lawn service that I haven't used for several years and wanted to know if I wanted to re-engage with them and gave me all the spiel. And then towards the end of the conversation, I asked the gentleman, are you a Christian? He was stunned. Stunned. And then we had a nice conversation. I told him what I've been doing for the past 38 years. By the way, 38 years ago, I got bit by the righteous bug. And what I did was I saw a need. There's lack of righteousness in America, which is the church. And I said, well, I'm going to get the right person elected to office. You know how well that worked out, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Then we went after the church. You and I and some other folks went after the church. We stood in front of the church for 9 months. That gave birth to a court case. And the church got a restraining order against us.
That's right.
And I'm going, man, what is this? And then I went to the natural family. That's the foundation of all civilization. That's the first institution God created for the benefit of man. And I've been working with the natural family since then. And a wise man told me a long time ago, if you see a need, and folks on this huddle, you all see needs. If you see a need, that's your calling. And if you don't respond to it, well, that's up to you. And so thanks for bringing Norm on.
I'm sorry. The greatest crime of the American church, in my opinion, is the pastors do not recognize the giftings of the men in the church. And pastors do not train and equip saints for the work of the ministry. Now, say what you want. I try to do that here. I try to make resources available, try to do whatever, because look, it ain't about Coach Dave live. It's about what are we doing? What is our team doing? And if a pastor would just, if a pack pastors, listen to me. If you were just to look around at your team, what is your team doing? I'm not talking about your praise team and the choir. I'm not talking about that. The average person sitting in the pew, do they know what it means to be a Christian and how to advance the gospel? And I would say, no, they don't. And if you were a football coach, they would have fired your ass 10 years ago. And that's why Coach Dave Live, people come in here every day because why? In their heart, they know they ought to be doing something. And they don't know what to do. Because 30 years in church, nobody told them what to do. Come on in, Jeff.
Well, Coach, just real quick. Over the years, strip clubs, gay parades, city council meetings, commissioner meetings, ran for school board, ran for county commissioner, different things. Been on the public square with PA system. Just
got any scars, Jeff? Do you have any scars?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it's like yesterday. Quick example. I was in the small town market here in town yesterday. Just getting a gallon of milk. There was a customer in front of me. He was checked out. He got his change back. He stood there. The guy behind me was waiting for me to get checked out and two women behind the counter. The lady says, hey, have you guys, they were talking about the Homestead Act. She said, boy, that's something. You need to check that out. I got $200 from the government. Remember, I said, you know what? I don't care about stinking $200 from the government. And they're all looking at me. There's four people standing there. I said, listen, there's people in North Carolina with women and children in tents after that flood 16 months ago, in tents, in sheds, needing heat, and people are dying in the last two winters. That's what I'm worried about. I said, screw that $200. Yep. I don't want it.
From the government.
Yeah. From the government. So they're all looking at me. You know what they said? They kept saying, wow, I didn't know nothing about that. Four people right there in 5 minutes. And then finally I had to go because I was just holding the line up. But they heard it. And I walked, and I thought, well, maybe one of them or two of them might check into it.
Maybe, huh? Maybe. Good job, Jeff. Good job. P.S., come on in. Come on, folks. We want to hear from you. Ray, what you got going on? What do you guys got going on? Come on, P.S.
We've got to realize and admit that our haters are correct when we have turned Christianity into a figurehead reliant on one person to do everything.
That's right.
Operation, which was never designed that way. And until we come to grips that we're in a cult and they're right, nothing's going to change.
Wow. Hey, Spencer. Is it Spencer? I didn't even see who it was today, producer. Pull up. Go to Webster or wherever and look up cult. Cult. Didn't get one? See, maybe back in those days, they didn't even have them. Go to regular Webster. What does they say? Is this a cult here? Because people are accusing you of that, aren't they?
Jesus is one thing, right? But when you rely on a fallen man in a flesh suit, you're gonna corrupt it six ways a Sunday.
That's right. If it's all man, a cult is a group as an organization or religious sect with tenets and practices regarded as coercive, insular, or dangerous. A cult is a great devotion to a person, idea, object, movement, or work. It would be good if we were dedicated to Christ rather than to our church.
Joel Osteen, T.D. Fake. Just go right down the line. It's all the same.
It's the same. A cult is the object of such devotion. A group of people characterized by such devotion to, you're a groupie. You're a pastor groupie. A system of religious beliefs and rituals. By the way, a cult doesn't necessarily have to be bad. It could be good cults. But understand that we all are drawn to cults. All of us. Dale, come on in. By the way, throw that picture up there. Dale's kids, two of his kids, were champions. Get that picture, Spencer. Two of his kids were champ. Go ahead, Dale.
Well, Coach, on those two first right there, those two kids have won nationals the past 2 years. You know what I'm teaching my kids? I can guarantee it. You would not want to get kicked by either one of those two right there.
Levi,
yeah, right. 6 foot. He's 6 foot two, 270 pounds, Coach. And I sent you that other picture where he's standing at a standstill and jumps up and does a sidekick. And then you see the other picture with my daughter. Yeah. Coach, they literally would break your bones. Now, what does that mean? What that means is that I'm teaching my children their fingers to fight and their hands to war. If you come up to try to pull one of your anti-ICE things on them, you might end up in the hospital. I don't rear up sissies. On another matter for everybody in here, look, do little things good. Let me tell you what, sometimes we look past our nose to understand the gospel calling for all of us. I'm a pastor, so I'm pouring into other people. I got other people that are starting Bible studies, not for other people in the church. They're bringing unsaved people Amen. To their Bible study, Coach. Let me tell you what, the greatest thing that we can do is advancing the kingdom is one soul at a time. And you know what? When you lead somebody to Christ, you have no idea if that's going to be the next staker, if that's going to be the next politician. Amen. What is he going to be? I'm just telling you, don't try to overcompensate yourself. I'm telling you, share the gospel. Now, here's another thing. I know you did not know this. Bill Shanks was in the hospital. He almost died. Really? You know what he did? He had two heart. Yeah, man, his heart stopped beating twice. And I went up to the hospital and seen him. You know what he told me, Coach? I've led seven people to the Lord here. Coach, And you know him, right? This is what you do, whoever you're encountering. It doesn't matter. In the store, in the neighborhood, in a walk, man, you are to be the salt and the light to the world to anybody you come in contact with.
Whoever told us that religion is private, what a lie, man. What a lie. Got to move, Dale. Thanks. Ray, come on in.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, part of your theme here, Coach, is
2 Timothy 4:2, he says. Go ahead.
Yeah. Part of your theme here mostly is be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. 2 Timothy 4:2 is our commission. It says to be preach the word, be instant in season or out of season.
By the way, stop, Ray. Yeah. And the first thing he says is, "What? Yeah. How do you do that, Ray?"
Preach the word. I empty my pockets. Well, let me finish. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Doctrine
comes from
our Bible. So what do? You, I emptied my pocket. They said, what's in your wallet? Remember that credit card commercial? Yeah. Well, I emptied my pocket. I got these cards in my... right there. If I have an opportunity to talk to somebody, I'll give them a Coach Dave card. It is pointed out to men once to die after this is judgment. Here's a good witnessing card. Talk about abortion. I got cards here. These are all in my pocket all the time. And this is your life. You know, these are conversations to open up. And then, oh, yeah, Jesus is calling. Are you going to answer? Or hang up on them.
Right? Wow, right.
So you carry these around with you and look for opportunities. If you can't talk to the person directly, put it in the bathroom, John's, wherever you are. You know, go into where the beer is. You know, I like to slip this into a case of beer. And when they get home, they're going to read it maybe. Folks,
Ray, I'm enthralled by this right now. Yeah. Preach the word. It doesn't say love them, tell them how much Jesus loves them, yeah, how much Jesus has a wonderful plan for their lives. See, in order for someone to ask for mercy, they have to first know that they are a convicted felon. They have to understand it. They have to know they are a sinner before they want the medicine.
Boom. Yep.
You don't take medicine till the doctor tells you you're sick, and then you take it. And so our job is to tell them they're sick. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Yep. Tell them they're sick. Then maybe they'll want the cure. But we try to give them the cure before they even know they're sick. And the church is telling us, right? Don't be judgmental. Who are you to judge? Tell them how much Jesus loved. Well, that'd be all good, but there isn't any, as far as I know, ain't any of that in the scripture. Ain't any of that in the scripture. That's why Ray's got sign he's holding up on right there. People go out in the streets and hold signs. Mark Harrington takes his aborted baby signs, goes out and shows people pictures of aborted babies. He gets into arguments, but what? They can't deny the truth. See, got to show them that this is what you're for. You're supporting this. This is what you're supporting. We have church. Well, you know, man, come back to the exact same thing. Oh, do I have time? I don't have time to do it. Real quick. Pull up number two, real quick, 226. I just want you to put this in the chat. You need to watch this. I'm bragging on me with David Zubik last night. Put it at the just 226 mark. I got unleashed in a new platform last night. Go. We only got a minute. Take it by meaning what? We fight back, not with guns, not with knives, but with truth, with opinions, with whatever. And for whatever reason, most of modern Christianity is passive. That's what I said. But these guys. These people walked into a church service. Not one man got up. Not one man was arrested for punching some guy. You understand? I'm not talking about violence. But wouldn't you stand up and defend your king, for heaven's sakes? The hell are you doing in here? Get out of here. That's my point. And we've become so passive as Christians. One of my friends told me this. Coach Dave, as long as they don't fear the church, they will not respect the church. And I think truer words have never been spoken.
Yeah.
Boom! Put that in the chat so you can watch it all later. Have a great weekend. Norm will catch up with you. We'll get to the initiative going on Monday. JR is on tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Last call. A lot going on, man. Hey, don't do it for attention. Don't do your ministry for attention. Do it through obedience. Lord, you asked me to do it. I'm going to do it. Lord, I wish I was preaching right now to 10 million people, but I'll keep talking to these 120. I'll keep doing that. Lord, I'll open the door. See you tomorrow. No, Monday.